What's going on, man? Welcome to Biceps and Mindset 2.0. This episode, my man, is going to be really funny because for the first time ever, I'm having someone on the podcast that's French, but we're going to go all the way in English. That's a podcast that was meant to happen a while ago. I have Quentin on the podcast, not me, someone else with the same name. He's been on the Hybrid Training Club for a while and the idea came from one of you guys, actually. A while back, someone asked me to bring someone on the podcast that was part of the Hybrid Training Club to have a feedback, to know how he feels, what it brought him. And I thought it was a very good idea. So today, we are in my house in Valencia, and Quentin is here with me today. And I asked him before, I was like, are you comfortable with English? Let's see how it goes. He's like, yeah, I can do it. And actually, he's been learning more and improving his English since he came into the Hybrid Training Club in the first place, which is a very, very good thing because for the first time as well, he's traveled overseas to come see me for the first time in his life. So that shows a lot of his capabilities and stuff that he's now able to do that he wasn't before. So guys, please be nice. Most of you as well, if you're French and you're still learning English, it's a very good thing for you because obviously his English is not perfect. So that's going to be a very good learning curve for everybody. And he's going to give us his feedback, the way he's transformed himself from what he was before and who he is now. And that's going to be very interesting. So we'll see how it goes. We have no plans whatsoever. Quentin's been staying at my place for the past couple days. We've trained at the gym together. So I trained him and I saw the weaknesses that he could have had with just online training. Having him on hand in the gym with me was a complete different ball game. But that's going to be quite nice. Quentin, how are you today?
I'm fine, man. Thanks you for inviting me to your house. I'm fucking great because it's a great, great opportunity to speak about my transformation inside the Hybrid Training Club and a great opportunity to speak about in the podcast.
Fuck yeah, man. See, he's been learning English and now he's able to understand and to actually just talk. And for him, it's very intimidating because he's never done this before. Because that's my fault. Like I told him, yeah, I want you to come on the podcast. But that was before I was going to actually transition into fully in English. So that's something new. That's something he was not ready for. But that doesn't matter because he's just pushing it. And remember one thing, if it was easy, everybody would do it. So from here, give us a little bit of background. What's happening in your life right now? And when did you feel like you needed to come on board at the time that before you were actually training, you were overweight? Explain us, just tell us about yourself.
Okay. So I'm living in from Paris. And during my 16, 18 years old, I felt like I was overweight. I felt like shitty person, and I wasn't comfortable with myself. I had bad ideas, shit stuff.
When was this? When you were a teenager?
Yes, yes, okay. Of course, during my teenager, and it was a complicated period because in my family it wasn't easy every day, and I have to fight with some problems that nobody saw because I want to just explain simply my situation. So in my family, my mother will have some problems with alcohol. I want to be completely transparent with the listeners because I want that they understand all the path to be there inside your house now and the background that I have.
Of course, the big transformation journey.
Yes,
from that point now.
Exactly, yeah. The journey. So my mother have some alcohol issues and I started to see that during my teenager, and the first thing I wanted to do, it was save my mother. Because,
yeah, okay.
You know, you see your parents struggling in their lives, and you see this problem, and you just want to, you say to yourself, okay, I have to do something, mm-hmm. because I have to act. Even if I'm a teenager, even if I'm a child, you want to do something because you love your parents.
Of course.
And you want to act, to feel like I'm the guy who do something for his parents. So
mm-hmm.
I started like throw off the bottles in the sink.
Okay, interesting.
While she slept, she naps. And when she saw that, it wasn't like, you know, she was angry,
mm-hmm.
very angry against myself, because she don't understand why I did that.
Yeah, okay.
So, it was, I was, I think, in a big trouble, because for some days she didn't talk to me. It was like a silence in the room.
So very tough that you're not feeling the love of your mother.
Yes, during this time, it was very complicated. It was like, I felt the love of my mother during my childhood, of course, but sometimes it was very complicated even to discuss, to have some cool discussions, mm-hmm. even at the morning, during the weekends. It was like I ate my... my breakfast, and it was like
silence,
like
so you were living with her, but like no communication whatsoever.
Yes, with my mother it was complicated, but it was more complicated with my father, because during my teenager we didn't be closer enough. So
not close enough, okay.
So this time it completely different, because I have the mentality, I accepted all this problem,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, you're a teenager, you don't understand the problem and you want to act, but you see the result is
I completely... feel like you're not doing anything useful.
Yes, mm-hmm. exactly. So, and with my mother, it was complicated, and I was like, okay, man, that's it.
I give up,
throw the towel and just find a solution to move on and to accept. But it's very complicated, because it's not a problem you can see. It's not it's not physical. Alcohol destroys the body, and you can see, but the big problem is the people around you. You cannot invite people at home, because you didn't know what's going to happen. And you have the fear that something could be wrong, could be worse during a dinner, during a birthday. I invited a girl at home with my parents, and my mother fell off the chair, and I was like, man.
Oh, your mother fell from the chair?
Yes.
Because she was too drunk?
Yes. I was like, I don't know what to say.
Yeah, it's not a good
look. I saw the girl in the eyes. I'm sorry.
Yeah, okay.
Gotcha. I cannot control anything. And I saw my father. He was completely desperate. It was... I saw in his eyes, like, I can't do
powerless.
Anything.
Powerless.
Yes, completely good. Powerless. And... so during the teenager, I accept this problem, and I found some solutions to speak about, because if you keep this thing for you,
mm-hmm.
it's not a, it's
you
not
implode.
A, yeah, you implode. It's a very big problem. So I started to speak with a psychologist, with my closer friends,
mm-hmm.
and but it's not enough, because they are. Encourage you to move on, to move forward, to think about you, to build your life, even if you know that's a big problem, but it's not enough. And you have to think about some one thing. If you stay on this problem, if you stay focused on this problem, the wall things around you are completely black. It's like the darkness. And when you want to go straight forward, when you want to move forward, you have to accept that the light is inside you. Mm. You are the light on your path, and you have to walk away, even if it's dark, even if you don't know where you're going to be. Because if you don't move, you stay at the same place, and you stay the same average guy.
Yeah.
So I had this problem, and the other part was with girls and the way I felt inside my body. I was.
So what, you had those insecurities because of this?
Yes. Mm. Because, you know, it's very complicated to be completely safe when one of your parents have some kind of problems.
Yeah, okay. I understand.
It was like a bad routine. So I went to the school, I came back, it was the same atmosphere. Mm. And it was like, damn, man, I want to change something. But you stay like, because you don't have the...
You don't have the choice.
Yes.
Yeah. You're studying, you don't make money, so you leave your parents, but you don't choose the way they behave around you, and that's a situation you don't even want to go home.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was absolutely that, because I was like the bad routine, and I felt like I have to move on, but it was complicated because I was under 18. I did some bad shit with the with my money.
Okay.
Because I spent my money in things that they don't bring me money in return.
So in a way to escape your current situation.
And the bad escape I found at this period was pornography.
Pornography.
Yes.
Okay.
I started pornography very early in my life. It was, I think...
Okay, we all did, man.
yes, but it's a very, very...
You became addicted.
Yes, I became addicted. Started like 14 years old, I think.
Right.
14 years old. And it was my escape. It was my escape, but...
I understand.
When you're a teenager, you don't think it's a problem to masturbate yourself because it's a discovery for your body. It was like, damn, man, it's cool.
It feels good.
It feels good. Yes, it feels good. So you don't matter about the masturbation and pornography. But when you have the mentality, when you think about it at 18, 19 years old, and you see you're in the same routine and you did the same things, you're like, man, it's not possible.
Okay.
It's not possible. You went to from the school, you masturbate, you stay at home with your parents, it's a bad atmosphere, you slept, and you started
over again.
Yes.
Cycle, every day, endless cycle. Okay.
And no joy from that. No joy. So I have my friends outside, my family, it's cool, but the thing is, you have to find happiness, a peace inside of you. And when you have some problems and you don't fight, it's complicated to leave the game.
Yeah, as a matter of just like the mental health.
Yes.
Because every day you leave that situation, that endless cycle that's literally dragging you down.
Yes.
So how do you get out of it?
Oh, I can get out of it. I started to accept that I have a problem.
Okay.
The first thing is that
recognized it.
You have to be conscious about it and say to yourself, okay, man, you have a problem. It's not a big problem like alcohol or cigarettes, because my two parents smoke.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a psychological problem. It's the masturbation, the addiction to pornography, it's not visible. You cannot see on a guy, on a woman that they masturbate themselves. But inside of you, you have some fears. The fear are going out there to discover the world. Okay. You fear about the crowd. I had this fear to be in a crowd, public place. going to a bar with friends. You have fear when I have fears like when I alone, when I'm alone in my home, like weekends, and I play some video games, but you know, I'm a bit, who can say that? It's a boring time. You just want to leave your addiction in a time, but may come back when you are in a boring time.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, when you get bored.
Yes. When I'm bored. Comes back to you. Yeah. Exactly.
That's the first thing you think about doing. Yeah.
Yes, and it's a hard thing because you have to fight against your demons, and it's the hardest part.
Okay.
So I started to do the NoFap challenge.
Okay.
Because you have a big community in front.
When was it?
I started that, it was a short period of time. It was not a one shot.
Yeah.
I started again and again because you have to.
Oh, you mean you started the challenge, then you failed, then you started again, you failed.
Because if you want to live, if you want to fight against this addiction, you have to start, you have to fail, and you have to start again. I want to be honest, I think this addiction will be in part of my life until the end. But I have the control. I can fight and I can push forward the moment this addiction could be back again.
Yep.
So I started that. It was the first week is very hard because you cut off everything. No porn, no masturbation, nothing. But if you keep the gap during the first week, you felt something else during the second and the third week.
Okay.
You started to be, you felt more joy in your life.
Really?
You have some inner voice that say to you, man, the world is big. Come on, move on. Leave home.
Interesting.
Discover, be with your friends, and do something you never do in your life.
Okay.
So, it's the second and third weeks are very interesting. But if you have a down moment, you know, bad moment because you have a breakup, you have problems in your life.
Oh yeah, it comes back to you. It's like your safe place. You feel like shit. You kind of like. It comes back to you. Okay, yes, I understand.
It's like
understand.
A demon, the demon's voice that say to you, come back, come with me.
Interesting.
In a safe place, take some pleasure. But
that's good. Like you're saying, like it's instant gratification. Literally, you feel like shit, so you need some quick dopamine.
Yes.
All right, I'm getting back rush to porn.
I think it's the worst thing ever. And the other thing, it's like when you start it again, yeah, shit, I have to start again, but it's the process. Mm-hmm. It's the process to start again because if you don't fail, you don't know why you fail.
Yeah.
So you have to understand the problem. Okay, at this moment, I was in this position, in this time. Okay, so next time, I will be not in this situation. I am in control.
Yeah.
But to be in control and you have to start again. It's a long process. It's like to building a physique, and you have to work out. You have to be consistent. Mm-hmm. You have to fail. You have to start. You will have bad moments, great moments. Right. You have joy, happiness, but sadness too. It's a long term process. Yep. You cannot heal some addiction like that because it's different from be addicted to cigarettes or alcohol.
Okay.
Because it's more easy. It's easier to have instant gratification by masturbating ourselves or watching pornography because it's free.
Okay, it's free. Got it. It's easy.
It's easy to have access to this stuff. Yeah. So
understood. But when did you start with this challenge? Because today you're 28 years old. You were saying you had issues since you were a teenager. But when did you start being aware of that issue and actually starting fixing it?
I started to fixing it years ago. I want to say it's not fixed at 100%.
Mm-hmm.
honestly.
Yeah, it's on the, you keep fighting it on the day.
Yes,
yeah,
and it's okay. I am okay with that. Mm. You know?
Yeah, it's fine.
It's the I think a difference about it, because years ago I was punishing myself, masturbating myself, like, no man, you don't have to do this. It's a constant fight in your head, and you have your inner voice trying to save you, and you have the demon say, come on man, take this dopamine rush and you will be okay, you will be comfort, come on, and you have this constant fight, and you are in the middle.
I like what you're saying, because a lot of people in the red pill community will be telling you like, oh yeah, an alpha male doesn't masturbate, so it's either you do it, you're a pussy, or you don't do it and you're actually, you're a man. But they don't tell you what's in the middle, where you actually, if you're addicted to it, you have to fight it. And that's a very long journey. It's not just like, oh yeah, an alpha male doesn't masturbate, that's it. No, that's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous because it's not true.
That's not real life.
It's not true. You cannot cut off everything by masturbating yourself from years ago. It's, you cannot cut off in one day. It's
not
possible.
Of course,
you're not a robot. So. Mm-hmm.
So like, when did you start?
Because I started,
I was saying,
I
you're
think,
28, and when did you start?
I started, I think, during my, when I was 21, 22.
Okay.
I started that because I need a challenge. I needed a challenge. It's a great challenge against yourself.
So this is actually the start of the growth.
Yes.
You started getting better. But then when you reached out to me, you were overweight and you had lots of issues. So how, what happened in between? Because you started growing, seeing the light at the end of the tunnel, but then you went back down. Mm. So what happened?
I was in trouble in myself. It was always in my head. Like, I stayed too long with my parents, with the same routine.
Yeah, I couldn't get out of it. So that's the challenge.
Yes.
It's hard to fight it every
day. And I think the real moment I say to myself, man, you have to act, you have to move on. It is my last relationship.
Got it.
I felt like I gave too much energy and too much attention to people, but not for myself.
Yeah, okay.
So the growth started at 21, 22, with some ups and downs, because 21, 22, I wasn't in your program. But the real moment I was like, okay, man, it's now or never. You take your bag and you go out there. It's 1 year ago. I think it was 1 year ago after my relationship. I was like, okay, now you have to decide, you have to move. Okay, so the first thing I did is to find an apartment far away from my parents.
Oh, that's when you say 1 year ago. That was literally last year when you left your parents' home. Yeah, I remember you were up and down a lot.
Yes.
Yeah. So at what time were you like, because at the time you were fighting that addiction, were you already working out? Yes or no? Were you working out?
Yes, I worked on my addiction.
No. Working out, like weightlifting.
Oh,
like
weightlifting.
Going to the gym.
Okay. Weightlifting. I think I started, my journey in workout was started with friends, you know, to discover the gym. I think it was my during my 18 years old. I started to lift some weights, but I wasn't consistent, and I gave up really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So ups and downs, and years after years, I see my weights increasing.
Okay,
and I was like, man.
So basically, you went to the gym, not on a consistent basis.
Yes,
lifting a little bit here and there, going through the paces, but without an actual program, without someone to push you, then your weight went up, not muscles, but
the fat.
It was just fat. And you were fighting the addiction on the side, and you were living with your parents with a very, like, a terrible atmosphere.
Yes.
All right. So what happened then? So I'm trying to understand, because I don't remember, you reached out to me quite a while back, was maybe about 3 years ago.
Yes, 2021.
2021. Yes, I was probably in Valencia already. Right. So, what was the initiative? What happened to you? Because I've seen you transformed, like whether it's physically, but mentally, you're two different people.
Completely.
It's very interesting. So, why at first you decided to reach out?
The first thing it was I needed, I think, people with the same mindsets and to join the community, that they are link-minded and they support each other.
Okay, so you couldn't find this around where you were living.
My first real coaching program was with a friend of you, Louis, but it was 1-1 and it was in 2029.
Mm-hmm. 2019.
2019, sorry. it was a disaster because I wasn't consistent at all. Mm. He sent a lot of messages, but I never respond.
Okay, and, okay.
It's a lack of respect. So, Louis, if you read that, I'm truly sorry. It was a disaster. And when I joined, between 2019 and 2021, I didn't have a program. I didn't work out and I ate a lot. I ate my emotions, and especially with the COVID period,
mm-hmm.
It was like playing with your friends after midnight and
online.
Online.
Yeah.
And during this period, and you have your inner voice, my inner voice came back and said to me, man, you're like a rat in a cage. You turn around in your life, but you don't have objectives, you don't have purpose, you didn't have accomplished something, and do something. I was like, yeah, okay, just tomorrow, I decide to go gym. But you know, after I didn't go to the gym.
So I'll go tomorrow.
Tomorrow, so next day, it was the same.
Okay.
So I started to join the program because I followed you, I think, from 2018.
Okay.
And I was like, damn, this man is very strong and had great, great stuff. And the way you train is completely different that we can see in a gym like in France. Mm-hmm. Because.
Okay.
It's completely different. It's not using machines, but using barbells, dumbbells, kettlebells, free weights. And it's sometimes you have body weight and sometimes you have a great exercise, but without using machine. And I was very interested in the way you train. So, okay, he started a program with a community. Oh, let's join and see what I can do it in the community with the program. But I remember well in 2021, I started the program. I was overweight. It was the beginning of the journey.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I gave up after 3 months. I remember well because you sent me messages, but I didn't respond.
I was here. Like, we go again.
Here we go again. And you took time to call me and to ask
to understand the
to
issues,
understand the problem, and ask what is going on, man.
Mm-hmm.
When why didn't you didn't respond to my messages? And I was like, man, my life is shit. I'm lost in my relationships. It's a disaster, and I'm going nowhere. At this moment, I'm going nowhere. So, it was the first call with you. So, I gained some energy to come back to the gym, mm-hmm. and lift again. But after I have some problems.
It was only like quick motivation.
Yes.
Because you went
like
back
a
then,
dopamine rush, you know, it's a peak. And after I didn't have the consistent or the habit to go
the
to
discipline,
the
yeah.
discipline. I lacked a lot of discipline this time. But during 2020 and 2021, I had a relationship with a girl, and it was, I think, my biggest trauma, because during 3-4 months, it was really, really good. We were very close, but one day
she went away.
She went away, and I was like, man, what is the problem? And I didn't have a response, and I was like, wow, I'm alone. I'm completely alone.
So then you think it's all your fault.
Yes, it's my fault. Yeah. And I, the worst thing I did, it was keep hope, to have hope that one day she will come back in my life.
She'll come back.
She come back in my life, but we know that will never going to happen. So during 6 months after a breakup, I was like, maybe one day she come back.
Breakups are tough, yeah.
Yes. So and I remember myself in this moment, and I was like, man, at this time I had to move on. I would to move on, but I didn't do that. So I decided again after a second call with you. It was in the summer 2021. I decided to start the journey again, but it was effortless, because I gave up again and again. So it was a big problem, because if I were consistent during this time, but man, my physique will be completely different than now. I think I could be stronger, more comfortable in my life. And but it's okay, you know. From now, I have accepted this whole process.
Meaning you wasted time, because you actually started really good. Then you went back down to the hole, then you went back up. Like, obviously, you lost all your gains because you completely stopped training. Yes. So you lost the muscle, the fat went back up. And then again, I understand.
It's like Russian mountains. but it's a process. And the thing is, you don't have a control on things that they are very important, like food, sleeping. Because when you are with your parents, you don't have control on the time you
will go to dinner.
They'll
cook for you.
I slept very late after 10 o'clock. I wasn't in my bed to sleep. It was very complicated when you have to wake up at 6 a.m. and you don't have your 8 hours of sleep, and it was very complicated. So after this breakup, after this time in 2022, I was more consistent than the previous years.
So what happened? What happened?
It was like, man, you have to do something for you, and you have to transform yourself by working out, because it's the most important thing that you have to do, because you prove yourself you can do something by lifting weights.
Yeah.
You started at 40 kilos, and I don't know, 1 month after, you lifted 60 kilos. You have the difference, you have the gap to 20 kilos, and you prove yourself you can lift, you can do something, you have to accomplish something to set yourself, I did this.
So that brought dopamine back.
Yes, because...
So then that helped putting you out of your addiction.
Yes, it was a very big help, because workout is completely different than addiction and masturbating, because the rush of dopamine is different, and you love what you do at the gym when you have accepted to do the first step to go to the gym, because we know... The first time you go to gym, it's very impressive. You don't know what to do, what are the good exercises, what are the wrong exercises. And if you don't have a structure with you, it's useless. Mm-hmm. You can lift barbells, okay, but you don't have structure. You don't know where you're going.
So from that point on, now you're feeling better.
Yes,
you're going into
better.
You're going consistently to the gym.
Yes.
So what happened for you? What did you achieve? Like for you, tell us about the transformation you've got for your body and your mind, and who came out of it.
So
it's not the same person.
Yes, I'm completely different than 6 and 8 months ago, because after my last relationship, I move on, and in September, last September, I took my apartment far away from my parents, and at this moment, I saw that the gym was at 15 minutes
away
with car.
Yeah.
So I went to it, and was like, okay, I have some time for myself. I think that when I took my apartment by myself, organizing with my father to put my stuff and go to my apartment, I have organized everything, and I was like, man, I'm capable. Mm. I'm capable. And I think it started with a call with you, and you were on a train to Amsterdam.
I remember.
And you took the time by 30 minutes to speak with me, and to bring myself on the rail, on the right way to be better. So after that, I was like, okay, this man is always behind you to push you forward to be better. So, okay, I have something in my inside that say to myself, you have to do something for yourself, but you have to prove it
to
for
him.
You,
okay.
To him. So it's like a duty.
Mm, nice.
It was a mission for myself, a big adventure, but it was a duty to prove that all the time you took for me wasn't a waste.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
So I started to be consistent from last September.
Yeah, I remember last September was when I did the meetup, and yes. You had put on back 10 kilos of fat. Yes. I remember.
From
I was
now,
like,
10
what
kilos.
The hell happened to you?
I think to be with all the people in the community, it was like, wow, it's incredible. And you have different people, and you can speak about your life with them, and you share experiences, and to be very connected with mm-hmm. the same objective. I was like, man, I have my life cannot be the same, like a rat in a cage, and you have to move on. You have your apartment, you're free, you're independent. So now start your fucking great adventure in life. So I started to be consistent in the gym. I moved forward, and I was dedicated by the will to be better.
Mm. So because of the energy from the group as well,
yes,
so you didn't feel alone anymore, and that pushed you up, and you're like, well, I can't deceive my coach, but I can't deceive my teammates either.
Yes, exactly. And I saw the progress of my teammates, and it pushed me to be better and to be consistent, because it was very important for me, and the gym was an escape. Mm. Because, okay, I have my apartment, I'm free, but my duty and my will are in the gym. I want to share my vision about that. It was like a child in a teeny house with barriers around.
Mm.
And sometimes
and those
I
barriers
jump around,
you had in,
yes,
in your head.
Yes, I jump around the barriers and to see all the world outside, out there.
What do you mean? That's an image. So in your head,
in my head, it started
to reformulate
long,
what you
long
just
ago.
Said. Yeah, like you imagine yourself in a very tiny house mm. with fences around.
Yes,
and you couldn't go over those fences, meaning like your brain had limitations. So you had limitations with your beliefs, mm. and you didn't know that you could actually go over those fences.
It's a little bit different, because sometimes I jump.
Sometimes, what do you mean sometimes?
When I go to the gym.
I understand.
But so no, it's period. It's period. Sometimes yeah. I come back to the teeny house because it was the comfort zone, and
yeah.
I did something out my comfort zone. I was like, man, I cannot, it's not possible. It's not myself. Up.
Oh, I'm coming understand. Back. So you're like coming back trying the water. It's too much for me. Yes. I'm back into my safe house.
Yes, it was okay. I'm better here. But one day I decided to jump around the barriers and go on.
Okay.
I hold back all the problems behind me, and I'm going to see the world. It was a big discovery for me, because at this moment when I jump around and I go, I was like, man, you're capable. You're able to do something for you, and you can prove to yourself you're able to do something.
So you started feeling confident in yourself.
Yes,
so
completely. And it started
overcoming insecurities, and started with the gym, basically.
Yes, completely.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And if some people recognize themselves, in this podcast, in this special episode, the best thing you can do for yourself is to go to the gym.
Yeah,
because for your mental health, for your physical health, it's very important, because you prove something to yourself through the sacrifices you make for yourself. Because the routine, if I have to speak about my routine to be consistent, it was like, it's like waking up at 5 a.m., taking my breakfast, going to the gym, and after that, going to the office to work, and then I can come back to.
So yeah, for the past 6 months, you've been pretty dedicated, living like completely. You woke up every day at 5 a.m. to go to the gym. That's completely insane. Insanely good. Like it requires a lot of discipline. And congratulations for this. It's very
thank you.
Very good. And when I last saw you, because your transformation now, obviously, you turned into a different person, even physically, because dude, like the last time I saw you, you had a lot of fat on you. Like you had a lot of fat on you. And from what I can tell, like from the numbers you gave me, in the past 6 months, basically, let's say you gained about 5 kilos of muscle and you lost a good 15 kilos of fat.
It's
so that's completely doable. So how do you feel about that?
How I feel about that? I'm feeling pretty, pretty proud of myself. I think the last month or last 3 months ago, I could be able to say to myself, I love myself.
Awesome. In the last 3 months, so this is how you feel now.
And I'm feeling so, so great in my life. Now, I love myself. I love life. I love all the experiences I have and I will have, because life is a journey that never ends. So I'm pretty proud of myself for all the efforts and sacrifices. From September, I never doubt about myself to be dedicated and consistent in the gym. And I saw the progress. I lost 10 kilos of fat. And
no, more 10 kilos on the scale, but more than that on fat.
More
on
fat,
you put on muscle.
Absolutely.
Muscle being much heavier. And you lost at least, for me, like you lost at least 15 kilos.
And it changed everything in my life. I'm feeling more light, if I can say that. It's more easy to take some, you know, when you go to the supermarket and you have bags in your hands, it's easier to keep them with you and carry to home. So we have that, and you see the reflection on the mirror. You see yourself, man,
better
and better shape. And it was like, okay, man, I have to continue my journey in the gym. And I think the hybrid training club is the most important thing in my life, because it changed everything in me. Everything mentally.
Okay. Damn, man.
Before I wasn't able to make decisions in my life, in my at work. I have fears about that, but now I have some responsibilities. I have some people to call, because calling people was one of my biggest.
You have like close friends around that more like people that you can relate to, like-minded people that you can reach out to.
Also, and I have some fears that I can fight easy with like calling people at work. It was a nightmare for me at the beginning, but now I can call some people during my work time, and it's okay. I'm completely
confident
about that.
Skills,
yes,
yeah.
Absolutely. So it changed everything mentally because now I feel completely great in my life. But because we have a bit, I have to manage with my addiction.
Mm-hmm. You're still fighting.
I'm still fighting, but my my spirit changed. I accept more this addiction, and I can control and, as I said, push forward the time it came back. So it's okay if I am masturbating myself in 3 weeks, because I can control the periods to this addiction. Mm-hmm. Because at the beginning was a nightmare. It was every day, mm-hmm. every fucking day. So now I want to push a little hard by saying to myself, okay, man, you have to be more engaged in your head, and it's like, okay, you know where it's going to be, and you have to take the demons in your hand, and you have to punch their faces. Mm. So I started to I recorded my myself, mm-hmm. And it's a message for myself.
What do you mean? You recorded yourself, like you talked to the microphone.
So it was like it was in the 22 of March. I took my phone, I recorded my message, and I said to myself in this message, "Man, when you have demons in your head,
oh, it's for your future self."
Yes, and I want and this message, I listened every day in my car during my commute. It's 5 minutes, but five very important minutes, mm-hmm. because I think we don't take the time to say something to ourselves. It's not strange or weird to recording yourself saying some positive words to you, to yourself, but it's important, you know, positive attitude, positive things, because it's it puts something in your brain. It was like, it's not just the nightmare and the black vision. You put some light. And when your afraid, this light is here for you. It's like your comfort zone inside your head. Mm-hmm. I think it's a little bit complicated to understand that, but if you did experience, you will understand. I did that for myself, mm-hmm. because it was important to saying to myself, okay, man, you're in control, and when the demons came, you have the power to fight. You're not a victim.
Yeah, you built a weapon for you, basically. It's here available to you anytime you feel like shit.
Yes.
And you really listen to that message. It's very good. Like, it's a very good point. I've had this with a different, like, a friend of mine sent me a very important message when I felt I wasn't down. I felt I was kind of good, but in a way, he asked me, how you feeling? Sent him a message, a voice message on it's Alex Viseo. Sent him a voice message, and I felt like it was kind of positive. But at the end, he replied, and he's like, all right, man, so I know you're actually feeling like shit. So let me now tell you. And he sent me a 10-minute message, very intense, like a slap in the face. And when I feel down, I listened to it, and I'm just like, fuck, I'm so grateful for this. So you did that for yourself, and that's great, because obviously we are kind of driven through our emotions every day. We're going to feel different. Some days we're going to feel great, and we're on the top of the world. But some days we feel like shit, and then we feel like everything goes wrong. So when you feel like shit and you have that weapon in on your phone or whatnot, you get it, you listen to it, it reminds you of how you're supposed to feel, how you felt when you did that message, which is supposed to be the way to go. So I think it's a very interesting point, man. I think it's good. I wanted to jump on another point when because you were not able before, like before 6 months ago, you never took a plane. Like you went, yes, never went absolutely. On a plane.
It's my second time.
Second time here. You came here. You were scared as shit to go, and you were scared to go overseas.
Yes.
And from what I can tell now, like your English is pretty good. So how are you feeling about this? Like we've been talking for about an hour now in English.
My God.
How do you feel about this? Because when I first introduced you to the podcast, you were shaking. I could saw you shaking. Your voice was trembling as well.
Yes.
But okay. Now, how do you feel?
I feel comfortable because I know I can. I want to improve my English because it's not the better English in the world. But I'm feeling comfortable minutes after minutes.
Mm.
And to answer you about plane, yes, I was completely scared about taking plane.
Mm.
I took train. I took sometimes my car to go to holidays. Never take the plane. So when you said me take the plane, I was like, man, take the plane. Okay, how I can do that?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, man, you have to open a door that you never opened.
Mm-hmm.
So okay, it's a challenge. It's a challenge, and it was a great experience because. In the plane, I remember well, I was, I felt like a child sitting on the chair, on the seat, and I was like, damn, that's a great, I did it.
It's exciting.
I'm in the plane. I'm excited, and I'm in the plane. I'm going to Marseille, I'm going to take off, and... organizing my commute to the meeting point.
Mm-hmm.
So I took I never go to Marseille and around.
You never went there before?
Yes, never. And I was like, okay, so from the airport, how I can go to the meeting point?
Mm-hmm.
I took a bus. I took a train. And at the Toulon station, it was Timothée and Isa that they
can pick you up.
Yes, exactly. And I was like, man, I'm going to live a great weekend.
Mm-hmm.
At this moment in the car, I said to myself, man, you've traveled from north to south. And you are with big friends because...
Yeah, you overcome a lot of fears.
Yes, absolutely. And it's like you said in previous podcast, when you don't know that the door is here, the first time you open the door, you understand.
Mm-hmm.
The back door, once you have opened this door, you understand that you are able to do big things.
Yeah.
Because we have unlimited potential. Me... Our average guy with problems, with addiction, and if I don't want to work on myself, I can. I'm like a big procrastinator, if mm-hmm, I can mm-hmm. say that. If I can transform myself in 6, 7, or 8 months
mm-hmm.
after to be able to take a plane, go in Spain, Valencia, my Spanish is not good.
Yeah, even speaking English with other people that don't understand French, mm-hmm.
I can speak English and I can to be understand by the others, understood by the others. The first night here, I said to myself, man, you're fucking champion. You are in Valencia with one of the greatest guy you met in life because you are my inspiration number one. And
well, thanks, man.
It was like a privilege when you said to myself, come here in Valencia, take a plane. We are going to spend 4 days. It will be very amazing. I was like, man, I have the biggest opportunity in my life to move and to grow up consistently.
Mm-hmm.
So in my head, it was like, wow, what an accomplishment. What an achievement.
Okay.
And I remember 6 months ago, I just started my journey. 8 months ago, I was always with my parents. 1 year ago, I was in a big overweight.
So now that the trend is going up.
Yes, it's a peak, and the Russian mountains are behind me.
Mm-hmm. So now the only way is up.
Yes, because I know it will be. I will have some up and downs because mm-hmm. it's life. We cannot be perfect all the time, and we cannot have a perfect way, straight way to the objectives.
Mm-hmm.
I know I have to endure pain, sacrifices, problems to move and to build myself,
mm-hmm.
simply because it's life. Life, as Mike Munson said, when you have problems, you have to solve them,
mm-hmm.
and you are happy. And this is what I do. I have an addiction, I fight against, I solve my problems with my parents. It was
One step at a time.
One step at a time, but the best thing I did, I think, in 2024, apart from going here, is to writing a letter for my mother. Because I'm not the most expressive guy to show my emotions to my parents, because with my past is complicated.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to do that because I scared about it, to write on the paper and say to my mother, I love you from the bottom of my heart, even if you have problems. And I remember where I cried a lot because it was very intense emotionally,
mm-hmm.
but I was convinced that it was the
right
decision,
thing to do,
the right thing to do, the good decision. So I wrote two pages, and I gave this message to her at her birthday in the 10th of March, and she cried, and she said to me, thank you. I know words cannot heal big problems or addictions.
But now she knows you meant well.
Yes. And I know she is very, very proud of me. And she said to me in the response of my message, and I felt like a man has to be emotional with his parents, because we have parents one time in our lives.
Yeah.
We don't choose parents.
Exactly. We can't choose them, but they are the only one we have.
Yes, completely. So we have to love them. We have to cherish the moments we have with them, and be grateful for that. I think the other thing I felt with the Hybrid Training Club, it's I'm more grateful in life.
Okay.
I'm grateful by having a home, friends, work. I'm grateful for all the efforts I put in on. I'm grateful about all the adventures I experience. Worst or good, it's life. And it's completely different in my mind, because now I know where I go. It's the purpose is in my head, but I wrote it down mm-hmm. on a paper, so I know what to do to accomplish this objective. And every day is different, because one day I can be very angry about life, but when you calm down with meditation, by example, it's like, okay, man, it's okay. You have to just calm down, take your time to breathe down, breathe deeply, and after that, you sleep, and tomorrow is another day to be better.
Another opportunity.
The will to be better every day is crafted by the work I put in the gym, because it changed completely my life. The reflection I have in the mirror, when I see myself in the mirror, I know the journey is not finished. I'm this in the good way.
And it's never. I don't think it's gonna ever be finished. That's the thing. Like then when we say enjoy the journey, not the destination, basically.
Completely.
I think it's a very true thing because we will be on a journey until the day we die. So that's a good point you're mentioning here because if I summarize basically everything you've said so far is you became a much better person, that's for sure.
Totally.
And it all came from the gym and what it brings you and the ability, I mean, the discipline you have that you're putting out there to go to the gym every day. I mean, not every day, but waking up super early every day and putting in the work. It transfers to your daily task, to your daily life.
Yes, completely. Completely. And I don't want to stop because I love to go to the gym, honestly.
Fuck yeah, man. That's the way
The
to go
better
because, I
thing in my
mean,
life is to live some.
you used to hate it. I mean, people at first, when they get started, they're not super like it hurts, but then you feel like, I mean, you grow and you start to love it. And if you love it, then you're gonna go to it because you love it. So that's just a cycle that you will keep doing what you love, so it's even better. So now I think it's a great conclusion to it because I mean, I love it, man. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of
Ah,
the
thank
work
you,
you've
mate.
done, man. It's really
I
good.
appreciate
Over
it.
the years, I've seen you coming up and down, and now I think it's the only way is up. And you've accomplished already a lot. Lost those 15 fucking kilos of fat. Putting on muscle, it's not over, and we keep
It's
growing,
just the
man.
beginning, and
Keep growing.
if I have to. If I have a word for ending this podcast for people who listen this podcast is I encourage everybody to fight against addiction like cigarettes, alcohol or pornography because you have one life and you cannot stay in the same place every day. And life is too short to be trapped by our darkness, and we have to move on. I know it's complicated to fight because you think you're alone and nobody can help you. And it's true. I build my confidence with great people I know, but the work I did, I was alone. I was alone and I tried, I failed, I tried, I failed. And it's the process. Because you gain experience, and if you want to fight against your demons, you have to be conscious about it. You have to say to yourself, I have a problem. It's the beginning of
Of the healing.
the healing. And I have an image, a vision in my head. I'm sitting on a barrier with a landscape behind me. It's a sunset. I have some sunglasses with a big smile, and I know exactly what I want to write on under this picture.
So you're visualizing
Yes,
goals already,
completely.
yeah.
It was I don't know where this image came in my mind, but I know exactly what I want to write just under the picture. I want to write, I'm completely healed. Dot.
Nice.
Just like that,
Very nice,
with a
man.
big smile, and to feel, I want to feel life in everything I do every day. So if you have addiction, fight against them, find solution. You can speak with specialists like psychologists, it's okay, but your mental health is your priority.
You're not alone.
You're
Good
not
man.
alone.
Good man. Well, thank you. Thank you so much for your
Thank
intervention
you.
today. That was very
Thank you
good.
for this
That's
opportunity.
guys, if you're still here, thank you so much for listening to this podcast. That's the first time I'm doing something like this, so it's a very different format from anything else I would have done before. Hope you appreciated the transparency of Quentin, who is actually not used to do any he's never done podcasts
It's my
before,
first time.
and even less in English. So thanks for
Great
it. I
challenge.
appreciate that. And hope you guys enjoyed it. I'll see you very soon. Take care. And you know what? Go to the fucking gym.
Yes.
Peace.